Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bible or Bible app with you, I invite you to join me in John chapter 10. We will be in verses 11 through 18 today. John 10, 11 through 18. We are continuing our series studying the seven I Am statements of Jesus, each of which are found in the Gospel of John. Today we arrive to I Am the Good Shepherd, which is perhaps the most well-known of all of these I Am statements. Much has been made of us being called sheep in this analogy. Most of us probably would not select sheep as the animal to be if we had a choice. Sheep are known for being having poor eyesight, being a bit dim-witted, finding themselves in trouble more often than not, and so we might feel a bit of an objection coming up inside of us. I don't like being called a sheep. I don't like this analogy that Jesus is using, but even though sheep are known among livestock to need more careful handling and detailed direction than any of those animals, the point is not that we are sheep. The attention is directed to the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, between the relationship with us and our God who stands as our good shepherd. And so in John chapter 10 this morning, we're going to focus on the goodness of the shepherd that we have in Jesus Christ. John 10, 11 to 18, I'll begin reading in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Please pray with me. Lord God, we've gathered together today with joy. With joy because of the brothers and sisters who surround us in this space. With joy because we come each week to worship at your invitation, and we acknowledge that your presence is here in this space with us. This is not just a group of people sitting in a room. This is a group of your people. This is your family, your flock gathered in your presence, offering you all of ourselves in worship. And so we acknowledge your presence here with us today, and we give you thanks for that invitation. We acknowledge, too, the gift of Scripture, what it reveals to us of who you are and who we are in relation to you. In these next few minutes, as we look at the teachings about you as our good shepherd, I ask that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see in this text. I pray you would give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And I pray that you would give us conviction that's strong, so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Good Shepherd, that is who Jesus reveals himself as in this morning's text. We already saw in verses 1 to 5 in last week's text that Jesus was the shepherd of the sheep. But now, in verse 11 and verse 14 of this morning's text, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means he is our shepherd. He is the shepherd of those who choose to follow him. He says in this text, there have been others who've come before. What's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about the human leaders of the people of God, those who were entrusted with the flock of God to lead in God's ways. And he says, though others have come before, they may not have been on par with the good shepherd that Jesus is. That we read in Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 4, woe to those who come in among God's people and have destroyed and scattered the very flock of God. There have been others who have come before, and there will be others to come, Jesus says. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, we read, "Be shepherds of God's flock." It's a call to elders and pastors to lead the church well, to lead the church in the example of Jesus with that same love and that same protective presence that Jesus provides. There have been other leaders before. There will be other leaders to come. But Jesus stands as the exemplar of them all. So he is our shepherd, but he is more than our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. That word good can be defined as morally and intrinsically good, but it's more than that. It's beautiful, winsome, lovely, attractive, genuine, or true. And Jesus is all these things. And all of these qualities emerge as we trust in him, as we follow his lead, as we embrace him as that model shepherd, our good shepherd. What makes Jesus the good shepherd? We know he's good and we know he's our shepherd, but what does he do that makes him the good shepherd? What qualifies him to say this? I think he offers us two explanations in our text this morning, and I'd like to spend a few minutes on each of them. The first is found in verse 14. Jesus knows his sheep. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And this calls us back to last week in those first five verses of John chapter 10. We were talking about enclosures, remember? And there was a wilderness enclosure that would usually find just one shepherd with his sheep protecting them through the night. But there was another enclosure that would be in their village near home. And often it would be quite large. And multiple flocks would be gathered together in the evenings into this larger enclosure. That would mean that there were hundreds of sheep in the same enclosure. And for us, inexperienced with this art of shepherding, we would look at that chaos and think to ourselves, how on earth are they going to be able to separate these flocks out and head out to pasture this next day? But if you've ever observed it, and you can Google this if you want on YouTube, you'll see that a shepherd will come forward and with their unique voice, and often with a unique signature call, stand at the entrance to that enclosure filled with hundreds of chaotic sheep. And when they give the signal, all of a sudden, their sheep's heads come up. And they start walking over to the entrance. And with the moments, their flock has followed them out for the day into the fields. That's the level of connection and intimacy that's shared between a shepherd and their sheep. And Jesus wants us to understand this. I think we struggle with the sheep thing because we don't have a lot of experience with sheep ourselves. But maybe the closest analogy is along the lines of what Kyle was talking about earlier. Our dogs and our cats, the pets that we love and care for and snuggle with and pay huge veterinarian fees for and all these sorts of things, that intimacy of connection we share with our pets is the type of connection that was shared between shepherd and sheep. And that's what Jesus wants us to draw on when he tells us that he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. Maybe the best picture of this intimate knowledge and care offered by our good shepherd is found in Psalm 23. I want to invite you in just these next few moments to sit back and relax. Close your eyes if it helps. I'd like to read through Psalm 23. And as I do, I want you to picture yourself under the care of the good shepherd who is described there. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. This description, this picture that emerges out of Psalm 23 is John 10, verse 10 that we talked about last night, that life to the full. This is what Jesus has created us for, and it's this kind of protection, this kind of provision that he longs to provide to each of us as our good shepherd. One commentator looked at this opening line, "I lack nothing," or "I shall not want," and said, "There are five things in Psalm 23 that we will never lack when we embrace Jesus as our good shepherd. The first, we won't lack rest. We won't lack rest." I love the imagery in the psalm where it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Many of us are like toddlers who don't know we need a nap time. You remember when your kids were small and you're telling them to take a nap and they'll fight you with everything they have in them against that nap. And then as we grow up as adults, we think, well, I want a nap. How do I find one? Our Savior oversees us, calls us when we're moving too fast, helps us to slow down through the trust that we have in him. And he walks us beside quiet waters as he helps us to find rest. We won't lack rest if we embrace Jesus as our good shepherd and follow his directions. Secondly, we won't lack guidance. He'll show us the way to go. And this is in the big picture, eventually arriving into our heavenly home and residing forever in the presence of God, but it's also in every day of our lives. God's guidance with us, Jesus' presence beside us, so that we know what to do and how to do it if we want to follow after him and his ways. Our good shepherd will provide the guidance that we need. We won't lack safety. We talked a little bit about this last week as the shepherd would put himself in the door of that enclosure to guard against thieves and to guard against wild animals. That safety is promised to us too as we make our way through this life. That rod and staff that's referenced by the psalmist is talking about that, that there is protection nearby as we trust in our good shepherd and follow after him. Fourthly, we won't lack what we need. Our God will provide for our needs out of his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Our God will provide for the things that keep us alive and keep us healthy and keep us whole and keep us near to him and his care. Finally, we won't lack a heavenly home. We have that promise at the end of the psalm that we will be led by our shepherd into that heavenly space, the space that Jesus has gone ahead and provided for us so that we might spend all our days, our eternity in the presence of this loving and protective Savior. Jesus knows his sheep. And I want to pause before we move on to the second part of this because religion alone, doing the right thing, learning our biblical trivia, gathering together on Sundays because we know we should, those are all good things. But what this faith is really about is knowing God and being known by God. Not just information, but relationship. And so when Jesus speaks of knowing his sheep and his sheep knowing him and the sheep understanding the voice, it applies intimately to us. Jesus is that available to us if we lean into this, if we lower our guard, if we accept who he is and what he's promised and the guidance he provides. Jesus knows his sheep. And secondly, Jesus lays his life down for his sheep. He tells us this in verse 11. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." In that promise, we know that he won't abandon us. He uses the example of a hired hand, someone who does not own the flock. Everything might look just fine right up until the threat and danger arrive, and that hired hand will run away from the flock, leaving them exposed to the attacks of those wild animals. And he says, even in the face of danger, even in the face of death, he will not abandon us, his flock. In fact, he offers his life voluntarily, he tells us in verse 18. It's not something that's taken from him, but something that he lays down by choice. And you'll notice if you look at that little cluster of verses, multiple times he talks about volunteering his life, laying it down, and then taking it up again, each of which is a reference to his resurrection. Even halfway through the Gospel of John, Jesus already talking to his disciples and others about the fact that he will be sacrificing his life, but he also has the power to rise again in his resurrection. He offers his life voluntarily. He also does this for other sheep, he shares in verse 16. And this verse has been quite controversial through the years. What in the world does it mean that there are other sheep not of his fold, and that Jesus is going to make a way to call them home as well, and then there will be one flock and one shepherd? You could preach a whole sermon series on this. You really could. Lots of questions. And people come in and say, well, that's not anyone outside of Christianity. That's talking just about racial things. It's talking about the Jewish nation and then expanding to the Gentiles, and certainly that is contained within what Jesus says. But I see Jesus making a really open-ended statement here. He is saying, I have other sheep, and I sacrificed myself for them too, and they will know my voice, and I will call them home, and we will become one flock and one shepherd. I think Jesus is saying this isn't just about Israel. In fact, this isn't even just about religious circles and those who are faithful and practicing their religion. This is about all people. It's about the love of God, the love of a shepherd who was willing to lay his life down as a sacrifice so that he could call his sheep home. And when he calls, all of his sheep, wherever they are, will hear his voice. And when they hear his voice, they will know it is time to come and forever be shepherded by this beautiful shepherd that we have in Jesus. What a picture of safety and security we have in this text. Truly, Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows us, and he has offered his life for each of us. In Jesus' care, we know that we will always remain safe and secure. And I think maybe Jesus said it best in verses 27 and 28 of this chapter. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus, our good shepherd, who walks with us through our entire lives, providing this kind of safety and security until we are finally led home. We should rejoice in this shepherd. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are so good. Your teachings are so dynamic and so powerful, and they allude to such great truths. And we desire, as we read our way through these gospel statements, to really see what you are revealing of yourself in each one of these self-portraits. As we see you as our good shepherd, we desire, Jesus, to draw near to you. We desire to hear your voice, to know it is your voice, and to follow your guidance. We desire to submit to your direction every step of the way, even when it makes no sense, because we trust in you, because we find ourselves safe and secure in the care of our shepherd. Help us to sense you in our days, to follow after your guidance, to realize your protection day in and day out. And with each new day, as we trust in you, help us also to rejoice as we peer into the future and know that there will come a day where for all the rest of our days in eternity, we live in your presence in our heavenly home. We pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.